Sometimes when the Lord disciplines us and corrects us, it says, don't grow discouraged. So that literally could read, don't give up. And so many times believers they just come to a standstill. They quit running the race and they just give up and they say, no, that, I'm not going to do that.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
Good day, and thank you for joining us for our midweek broadcast. Pastor Bill continues his study of Hebrews chapter 12 today. The key word in this section is chastening. It is a Greek word that means child training, instruction. Chastening is the evidence of the Father's love. Now, let's join Pastor with today's message, Where God's Discipline Takes Us.
Amen. If you've been with us any length of time, you know that we've been doing a lengthy study through an incredible letter called Hebrews. We know that it's a letter of exhortation. Hebrews 13:22 tells us that. A letter of encouragement to all of the Hebrew believers, the Jewish believers there in the first century. Temple is still standing. The sacrifice is still being offered, but they have walked away from the Levitical priesthood, and now they know the true high priest. Amen? And so they're running that race of faith. Now, we learned last time that the way that we do so, how we run, we do so by laying aside every weight. Anything that hinders us, anything that weighs us down from running, we're to lay it aside. And we learned also that a weight can be a good thing, an innocent thing. It doesn't necessarily have to be a bad thing. And then it said, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, of course, and also the sin that so easily deceives us. We got to get rid of that one too. And that's the sin of unbelief. And we do all of it by looking to the absolutely perfect, most perfect example of faith and endurance in the universe, and that is looking unto Jesus, the author, the finisher of their faith, and the author and finisher of our faith. Amen? We know that the Bible tells us about faith. I mean, Hebrews is all about that, that we run this race, the race of faith, we run it by looking unto Jesus. And remember in Hebrews 10:38, it says, God says in His Word, the just, those who are believers, those who are saved, the just shall live by faith. There's no other way. Amen? God says in His Word, now if you draw back from that, from faith, God says, I love you, you're saved, but I have no pleasure in that at all. There's only one way to truly please God our Father who cannot lie. We trust in Him. We trust in His promises. Amen? Okay, so we know we've learned that true Bible faith is confident obedience to the Lord, to God's Word, in spite of the consequences, in spite of the circumstances, or the cost that may be involved. Now, with all of that being said this morning, the verses this morning are very dear to my heart. The Bible says in Hebrews 3:7, today, that's a very important word. The Holy Spirit says today. That means right now, right this minute. In the Greek, it's a sense of urgency. Today, if you hear His voice. Now, listen, I just read His voice to you, didn't I? The Word of God. Today, if you hear His voice, it says, do not harden your hearts as in the day of the rebellion. Open your hearts, loved one. You need to hear the words that I'm about to tell you from God's Word this morning. Now, listen very carefully. These words that we're going to cover, these verses, they're deep within my heart. And the reason I say that is because I would have given anything, to have known the scriptures that I'm about to study this morning. I would have given anything to have known them when I was a baby Christian. When I first got saved, the first year I got saved, the second year I got saved, the third year. Are you listening to me? I mean, I would have given anything to have known these scriptures, and not only known them, but understood them, and someone to come along beside me and show me how to embrace them. Oh, I would have given anything when I was a baby Christian. He who hath ears to hear this morning, I pray that you hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Because you need this, every believer, no matter how young, how old, you need these verses deep within you. But more than anything, you need to understand them. okay? So this morning we're going to talk about when God disciplines, where does it lead us to? When the discipline of God, the correction of God, where does it really take us in our walk and in our life? Let's begin in verse 3 this morning. The writer, who I think is Paul, of course, says this, "For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary, discouraged in your souls." So he starts out with a command. He says, oh, loved one, you're running the race of faith, and you have got to consider Jesus. You've got to look at him. In other words, the author, the finisher of our faith, you got to keep your eyes on him. But the word consider means this, to sit down in a way and study him out. In other words, think carefully about Jesus. Take your time. It's not a short little, I'm going to go through the Bible, and now, okay, 10 minutes and I got it. No, no, this is investigation. This is where you think deeply about the Lord, and you look carefully at the entire life of our Lord, okay? Also, in the Greek, is an accounting term. So you add up all the facts, because in here, it's about running the race of faith. So with all that being said, it said, I want you to consider very carefully now him who did something, who endured, it says, what? Such hostility from Christians? No, from sinners, amen? Against himself. So what is the writer telling us? He's saying, I want you to study now. Go back and restudy out the earthly walk of our Lord upon this planet and look at his life. He was hated by everyone. He was despised. He was rejected. John 1:10 says that Jesus came to his own, meaning his own nation, his own people. But his own people, what did they do? They received him not. They didn't welcome. They did not even want him. They did not want the spotless, sinless Son of the living God. Think about that. Not only that, we're to consider his faithful enduring. He was betrayed into the hands of sinners. He suffered, and then he went to the cross, and he died for the sins of the entire world. So we're to focus on him, lest you become, everyone say that word become weary, that you become discouraged in your souls. Now, in context, the Jewish believers, they were under a great struggle. Now, we know in chapter 10 of Hebrews, verse 32 and following, we know that they endured a great struggle. We know that they had their homes and their lives plundered. Everything was taken away from them, and they were under persecution and so forth. Now, but with all that being said, that word become there doesn't mean it has actually happened. It says, lest you become, so there's a warning there, lest you become mentally drained, emotionally drained, and it says in your souls, which means in your emotional makeup, who you are inside. In other words, your whole inside is just falling apart. And if that did happen, if it happens to you, there's only one reason why. They stopped, or we stopped, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We're not considering our Savior. Amen? And that's what that means. It says, you have not yet resisted the bloodshed, striving against sin. So that's a true word. The Jews, did they suffer horrible persecution? Yes. If you went over to chapter 13, I think it's verse 3, some of them were in prison. They were chained. They were persecuted and tormented and abused and all the rest of it. But they had not yet suffered martyrdom. In other words, they were still alive and so forth. Jesus, has he shed his blood? Boy, he sure did. And then he conquered our sins. Amen. The sins of the world. Now, but look at that again. It says striving against sin. Now, what sin are they talking about? Remember the sin from last week, that specific sin, the sin that so easily ensnares or entraps us? What was it? The sin of unbelief. That's what it is right there. Now look at verse 5. And you have forgotten the encouragement, or you have forgotten the exhortation. That word in the Greek is paraclete. In other words, one who comes alongside of you to encourage you and help you in your life. Well, what is it? Well, you've forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. In the Greek, it would read like this. They had completely forgotten, or perhaps they even deliberately forgotten. We're not clear on it. Somewhere along the race, they just simply forgot, man. And they're still forgetting. What are they forgetting? Well, number one, they're forgetting the encouragement that speaks to them. They are sons and daughters of God. Amen? And so forth. They've forgotten all of that. Now, here's the deal. You are going to go through things in your life. Amen? All of us are. We're not immune. But here's the thing. If you forget, if you neglect God's word, I promise you something happens. You forget God's word. Did you know that? You have to constantly be renewing your mind, loved one. And what happens is here you are, you're in a dilemma, you're in persecution, you're in going through a trial, a test, whatever it might be. And if you're not renewing your mind, you forget God's word. But the answer is in God's word, but you've forgotten what it was. I guarantee all of us, we're all guilty of getting to the word of God and we go, I forgot all about that scripture. Amen. Yes. Why? Because it's no longer fresh in your hearts. And so we have to constantly be renewing our minds to the Word of God so we don't forget the Word of God. And if we do, we will become discouraged in the race of faith. There's no way around it. And not only that, do you think the enemy, the devil, do you think he wants you to forget God's Word? Oh, here's one he really wants you to forget. You know, taking up the shield of faith by which you'll quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Amen. He doesn't want you to remember that one. He'd love to have that erased from your memory. That's why we constantly have to go over the Word of God. Over and over we meditate on. Now, the Jewish believers, they were upset. They couldn't figure it out. Why are they being persecuted? I mean, because here they left Judaism and now Jesus is the true Messiah. They understand that. But everything is falling apart in their lives. And you know why? They forgot something. You know what they forgot? Look at verse 5 again. He's going to quote now Proverbs 3, 11 through 12, and he says, my son, we could say my sons, my daughters, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord. Now, that means that a believer can despise the correction of God. Did you know that? That word chastening means to be trained by God. It means to be corrected by God. It means to be disciplined by God. He says, and also, my son, nor be discouraged. In other words, the thing that has happened to you is just too heavy for me. It's just weighing me down. I mean, I don't deserve this in my life, man, and I'm just growing weary. And he says, and don't become discouraged when you are rebuked by the Lord or by him. See, God does something. Have you ever been rebuked by the Lord? You better believe it. You know why he's doing that? You're on the wrong road. You're on the wrong path. You're going the wrong way. And we're talking here about running the race of faith. Amen. So that word there, do not despise or do not think lightly, literally is a command. Don't ever think that God's correction is of little value in your life. God's correction, God's discipline is the most valuable thing you can ever have in your life. And so many Christians fight against the correction of God. They fight against the discipline of God, and they wonder why everything in their life is falling apart. When God loves you so much, he's trying to get you on the right path, but we don't want to go there. Y'all still with me? Okay. Now, so sometimes when the Lord disciplines us and corrects us, it says, don't grow discouraged. So that literally could read, don't give up. And so many times believers just come to a standstill. They quit running the race and they just give up and they say, no, I'm not going to do that. See, most Christians have forgotten this about God's word, the Bible. Sonship is always linked in the Bible with suffering and trials and persecutions. Amen. And to be hated by the world. Am I right? Amen. So we need to remember that. The Bible says in Proverbs 15:10, harsh discipline is for him who forsakes the way. In other words, you get off the right path that God put you on. And he who hates correction will die. Now listen very carefully. This is very, very important what I'm about to tell you. Things that I learned in my 20s, okay? I mean, when I was just a babe in Christ, a few years after that, I should say, not immediately. And that is this. Why do persecutions, why do tests, why do fiery trials, why the pain, sorrow, all this junk, why does all this stuff, trouble, just come into our life? Do you ever ask yourself that question? In other words, you know, it comes into the life of the believer. Do the things that come against us, does it happen by chance? No, you know what Job said? Man's days are few, and boy, they are full of trouble. And that's a true word. Now, I'm going to give you three things. Three, one, two, and three. Loved one, they are vital because you are going to be corrected by God. You are going to be disciplined. And if you don't have this under your belt or in your heart or in your thinking, you're going to hurt. You're going to wonder, God, don't you care about me? Don't you love me? And let me just give them to you. Number one, every Christian must learn to filter what happens in your life through the Word of God. You belong to Him now, amen? So you have to be in the Word. You have to filter whatever you're going through. You go into the Scripture and you search it out diligently. Jesus told us in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So we have to do that. So again, we must filter the trials, the testings, the pain, the sorrows, the heartaches, everything that we face in life, filter it through the Word of God. Listen, I can't tell you how many times I've gone to the Scripture, Psalm 61, and it says, oh God, I cry out to you. Come down and hear me or lend your ear to me. You know, this is where you pull the ear of God right now. I got to talk to you. And it goes, and King David said, oh, when my heart is overwhelmed, when everything in me is falling apart, when, Lord, I just don't know what's happening to me, when my heart is overwhelmed, I need you to do something for me. David said, lead me, take my hand and lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Listen, we're going to go through it, but if you don't have God's word in you, see, that word is alive to me. Is it alive to you? My heart's been overwhelmed many times in the short 50 years I've been alive, loved one. I'm glad you still laugh at that lousy joke. No, you know, so we have to filter them through. Now, listen to me now. This is another one I made. This is one of the biggest mistakes I ever made, okay? Number two, we must be careful not to interpret our Heavenly Father's discipline for the opposite of what it really is. Gosh, I didn't do that. Let me read it to you again. We must be careful not to interpret our Heavenly Father's discipline for the opposite of what it really is. We're going to get into that in a moment. Number three, we must be so careful never to allow those that you love and those that love you, that when you are going through sorrow, when you're going through hell in your life, when tests have come into your life, pain, circumstances, whatever it might be, you must never let those you love and that they love you to interpret what you're going through to make you doubt the goodness of God. Boy, and I did that. I doubted God. I said, God, this is not good. It's not good what you're doing to me. Why are you letting this happen? And I was binding devils, and it wasn't devils, it was God. Do you understand? No. Listen, never doubt the goodness of God. Do you understand me? God is good. Why do you think that I say God is good at every service? And why do you think we close with the song, God is so good? He's good. And I tell you, here's what you have to remember. Listen to me now very carefully. God is good. He continually does good. God always does good. Everything that He does to you is not bad. It'll never be bad. Everything that God does to you, no matter what it is absolutely good. Do you hear me? It is good. And His sons and daughters, listen, you are in training and God will discipline you. He will correct you. And why? Because we are in training for reigning, as you've heard that expression. Amen? Now, look at verse 6. Don't forget this one either. They've forgotten this. It says, for whom the Lord loves, He what? He chastens. He disciplines them. That's what that word means. He corrects. He trains. Oh, and this is one of our favorites. We have this on our back end of our car. And scourges every son whom he what? Receives, not rejects, those that he receives. Now listen, we have to be careful now not to interpret our Father's, His discipline, the opposite of what it means. Let's look what it really means. Number one, discipline, correction from our Heavenly Father. I love it. It is proof that God loves you. Did you see that? For whom the Lord what? Loves. Agape. Loves. He disciplines. He disciplines. He trains and so forth. How about that scripture about God's love? 1 John 3:1. Behold what manner of love. That's one word in the Greek, by the way. Behold what manner of love. Manner of love. Meaning a love, which is the agape of God, that is foreign to this world. A love that is not of this world. It means it comes from heaven. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. You are the recipients. We are the recipients of God's love. He says, has bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. Oh, God loves us. His love is unconditional for us. He loves you. Listen, God's love is perfect. It never goes up. It never goes down. Do you understand? It's unconditional love. God is love. Now, with all of that being said, you know, when we are disciplined, does it hurt sometimes? Yeah, of course it does. How about, if you're corrected by a brother or sister, does that hurt you? Well, I'm leaving the church. That's how much I'm hurting. That made me feel good. Come on. No, listen, we're disciplined by God. Does it hurt? Of course it does. So don't go, oh, this is killing me, God. You don't love me. Don't be a little crybaby. I was a crybaby. No, God's discipline doesn't hurt us. Yes, harm us. Never, never, never. Why? It's always done in love. Listen, the new birth, when we came to Christ, we were then children of God. Amen? How? We were adopted. We're the adopted sons and daughters of the living God. Now listen to me. Before you were born from above, God was your judge. But when you were born from above, God became not your judge. He became your Father. Amen? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Amen? Okay, very important that you understand that. See, Satan wants you to believe that when you're going through hell, you lose this, you lose a car, lose a home, lose whatever it might be. He wants to whisper in your ear and say, see, that is proof that your so-called heavenly Father doesn't really love you. If he really loved you, he wouldn't let this happen to you. And a lot of believers, they fall for that trap. You know why? They don't know the Word of God. You have to know the Word of God. You have to get into the Word of God. Listen, our Father, look what it says. Our Father does. He scourges every son or every daughter, same thing, whom he receives. What does that mean? It means this. No Christian, no child of God is exempt from his discipline, his correction. None of us. No Christian will ever escape God's hand of discipline. But here's what's so wonderful. I mean, see, God's discipline, his correction, his training, it means he is totally involved in your life. It means he's totally involved in your present moment. It means he's totally involved in your future. Amen? Not just anyone. I'm talking about the Creator of all things. Amen? Listen to me. There should be shouting. There should be 1,000 amens right now. You mean, well, God's control. He's in my life. Come on. Man, listen, that is unbelievable, isn't it? He's working in you. His good pleasure. He's put gifts in you. You belong to him. You're redeemed. One day we're going to be with him. We're going to be perfect in heaven. Amen. Think about that. Praise God. Listen, that turns me on. I don't know about you. So Job said this in Job 5:17, behold, happy is the man whom God corrects. Now, it doesn't mean during the correction. It means when the correction is over, you go, oh, thank you. I didn't get it. I'd have given anything had I known that when I was a baby Christian. You know, the things that I went through, especially when I went into the pastorate full time. I went, oh, if I'd only, why didn't I know that? Why didn't Pastor Pat there at Calvary Chapel, Vegas, why didn't he train me in that? I'm not blaming him now. Behold, happy is the man whom God corrects. Therefore, Job says, do not despise or lightly regard the chastening of the Almighty. Listen, the one who died on the cross for you and me, he's not against you and will never be against you. Amen? And all that God is doing is conforming us into the image of his Son. Now, suffering in this life, does it come to everybody? Absolutely. There's no way around it. It is part of life. But listen to me now. But this suffering, but for it to be meaningful. And that's the key, meaningful. I mean, suffering, meaningful, that's right. That's why Jesus came and suffered and died on the cross for us. Amen?
Well, there's much more to this message, and we encourage you to tune in tomorrow for the conclusion to Where God's Discipline Takes Us. Amen? Thank you for spending some of your day with us. Be blessed today, and so long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth.
For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.